Hello, this is Lisa Bonzel, the Senior Clinical Editor for LippincottNursingCenter.com. I'm here with Jessica Emmons, a clinical editor on our team who recently became a Certified Registered Nurse Anesthetist, or CRNA. Hi, Jessica. I'm so glad to talk to you about your career and how the transition to CRNA has been going. And also, it's National CRNA Week, so happy National CRNA Week to you.
Thank you.
I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and your background in nursing to start. So can you tell us about how your journey into nursing began?
Yeah, so I became a registered nurse back in 2003. So it's been a little bit of a winding road. I was an accountant before I was a nurse, and I became a total insomniac having a desk job. And my father was a farmer, and we were used to doing lots of like physical work and chores. So his advice to me when I explained that I was becoming an insomniac was that I needed a job that made me happy and also made me tired. And that was very good advice. Talking to all of my other friends that had already moved into healthcare after our original bachelor's degrees, many of them were physicians, some were chiropractors. Talking to them, they definitely said that the nursing world was an enviable world because they were the happier people, spent more time at the bedside, and were actually doing the helping role and the really contact role that many people thought they would get in those other branches of healthcare that really didn't materialize in the way that it does in the nursing role. So I investigated nursing and got right on board. I graduated with an associate's back in 2003, and that was my entry point to nursing. And I did eventually finish a bachelor's online. And my original point of entry with that associate's, I did get a job at Albert Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia in the emergency department. And I really did love that role and felt that it was the best way to use almost everything that I had learned in nursing and not forget. I didn't get into one specialty. I really got to do that little like taste of all the different roles in nursing. So I enjoyed that very much. I was in the ER for 12 years ultimately. And when I went back to school, that was my, 12 year stretch of ER nursing. Let me just make sure. I also did have a second like job most of that time because you can only really do so many hours in an emergency department without feeling that tug on your soul. So I worked as a vascular access nurse and I enjoyed that role very much. I think that helped guide me and prepare me for my next steps because it's a role with a lot of autonomy and decision making, and you're really involved with different practitioners at many levels to help decide what this patient needs, how invasive to be, and the long-term goals are discussed as well. So I feel like my IV and vascular access role also helped me decide that I wanted to be an advanced practice nurse.
Wow, that's so interesting. It's fascinating to hear different stories of how people came to where they are today.
The other side to that was I had been being pulled toward the administrative end of nursing. I was like unit council president. I was going to a lot of meetings, doing research within my hospital. And my director, Betty Brennan, who many in our local area know, she's been very active in the community of nursing for 35 years. She really helped me understand that I wanted to stay at the bedside. My pride and feelings of well-being as a nurse came really from direct patient care. And I also liked doing sterile procedures and doing advanced roles. So she definitely helped me understand that I wanted to stay at the bedside. And a couple of my colleagues that had advanced into nurse anesthesia were really good windows into that role. A mentor of mine, Dave, he let me shadow him into the OR. And that experience of being in there for the first time, I was hooked. It was a wow experience for me, like taking over respirations for a patient, being the last person that they before they go to sleep, and then being there when they wake up and following through on that promise of I'll see you when you wake up, and it's you there to wake them up. That's a really nice human piece of what we do, and I was hooked. So yeah.
Wow, that's great. Can you talk a little bit about how that transition went from being an RN to being an advanced practice nurse, specifically a CRNA?
I was very fortunate that my life allowed me to work all the way through school. So I had one foot still in my RN role. I worked every weekend as a vascular access nurse and spent a lot of time in the critical care unit. And I also was 5 days a week in my other role as a student nurse anesthetist. So I rode that line for a long time and was very role aware of what I could do in my one role and what I could do in my RN role. And I think that helped me a lot when I got to the end of that road and could transition to practice as a nurse anesthetist. I very clearly felt the difference between my role in my vascular access nursing specialty, because there were divisions and lines and I said, no, that's not what I do at this hospital. I am an RN here. And when I go to my other health system during the week for my school role, I do totally different things. And I think that really helped me to feel a gratefulness for the new role that I was growing toward, and also made it easier to kind of rip off the band-aid of my comfortable RN role that I had performed for so many years, and move on to my new role.
That's great. Good advice. What's your typical day like now?
You know, I was always a night shifter, late night person, so school really pulled me toward the early end of the day in a way that I never thought possible. So now I'm a very early riser, and there's a few different phases of what you do in a typical day. There's the job phase, which is the, like, get your room ready, prepare all of your equipment and medications, and that's very, like, a technical thing. And, you know, I always joke that I'm, like, the quintessential overly prepared person, but you never hear about the overprepared person on the 5 o'clock news, just like you never hear about the nurse that was too clean on the 5 o'clock news. You know, so the overprepared, overly clean person, I will always be in that category. And that's part of the job that you have to do, is be prepared for anything, soup to nuts. I can be doing a case that's very simple and is sedation all the way up to general anesthesia and beyond. So I have to be prepared. So that's the first part of my day, is making sure I'm ready for anything. Then there's always the team focus part of the day, where you have to know who you're working with, what the demands of your day might be for yourself and the other rooms that are running. And being part of that family has been wonderful. You know, nurse anesthetists are a large group. There's 52,000 of us in the AANA. And knowing that I'm one of that large group that provides millions of anesthetics every year, like 43 million anesthetics a year are provided by nurse anesthetists. I feel that every day, that I'm part of this wonderful family of nurse anesthetists. So the other part is what we had started to talk about earlier, is that humanity piece. Like, my typical day, I have very intimate interactions with people that are either undergoing major surgery or are having a new baby. And part of it is really intimate connections that you forge very quickly with people. So, you know, I might visit a woman in labor, in transitional labor, whose epidural is just not doing the trick, and I can help her with that by adjusting her bolus in her, you know, doing things to help her be able to really enjoy the experience of childbirth and meet her new baby. I also might meet someone that has, you know, suffered and survived a devastating stroke, and this is the day that they are getting their ET tube out because they're getting a new trach, and I can talk to them and soothe them as they drift off to sleep. And for the first time in a month, maybe they're going to wake up without an ET tube, a Doppler. They're going to wake up with their face back, theirs, and be able to, you know, move their mouth. So there's some grace in these interactions that you have with patients. And then there's always the understanding and follow through that I am the last voice and face and touch that you get before you drift off to sleep. And I follow through on that promise of, I'll be here when you wake up. Like, I've delayed my lunch breaks many times to make sure that I follow through on that promise of being there when it's time to wake up, because it's an important promise that you're making to another human that you are going to see them through this 100%. You know, I feel very strongly that one of the most valuable things that I can say to a patient when I meet them is that I'm your nurse anesthetist and I am within arm's reach of you throughout your case. I never leave you. And then I joke, if it's a really long case, I might get the occasional pee break. But other than that, I really am that one that is physically within their reach and contact, focused on their well-being throughout the entire case. So that's a really nice thing that you can provide for someone, is that trust.
Right. How rewarding. Oh my goodness. And I don't know that other nurses or even other advanced practice nurses know, you know, what you're sharing, like that connection that you do make. Some people might think nurse anesthesia, like your patient's asleep the whole time, but you're really connecting pre-procedure, reassuring them that you're going to be there throughout, and then being there when they wake up. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Jessica.
Thank you. And I will say that has been a real help for me too, because things don't always go well, but I know that I've had at least one instance where we knew pretty much that this patient was not going to make it, but I made sure that everything leading up to going to sleep was as warm and kind and pleasant. That room was quiet so that this man did not go to sleep in chaos. He went to sleep in a, like, I touched his face and talked to him until those eyes drifted shut. And I knew from my own perspective that this gentleman went to sleep gently and calmly, because we knew he probably wouldn't wake up.
Wow. Wow. How, Jessica, switching gears a little bit, how would someone know that this is the right journey for him or her to become a CRNA?
You know, I've been asked that by people that I know very well, their personality, and I feel comfortable when I describe the role to them in a way that I know will either match with their personality or perhaps point out the ways that it wouldn't be a good role for them. It is hard, without me knowing someone, to really help guide that conversation, but it is a solitary role. You work in your silo. I am with my patient. I certainly have access to the hive mind of anesthesia providers. I have physicians that I can talk to, other CRNAs that I can solicit advice from, but you are there with your body of knowledge working toward the goal of a safe anesthetic by yourself every day. I make decisions in real time. I give lots of drugs. And the other thing for me to remember and remind people is that just like nursing, there's different areas of practice within nurse anesthesia. You can choose to work at a large academic medical center where you would be like the ER. There's a variety of cases. You can see everything from trauma to a podiatry case in the same day. And that avenue of practice might fit with someone's personality. But there's also surgical centers, dental anesthesia, there's eye clinics that employ nurse anesthetists. There's all different types of practice roles, even within anesthesia, for nurses that you can choose and gravitate toward. So I feel, you know, that if you really think that this is an area of interest, the best spot to start is to shadow someone, and also to make sure that you speak the language of anesthesia, which is pharmacology. Our degree, I always joke, should be called a subtitle of applied pharmacology, because that's what it is. You are literally applying advanced pharmacology every day, and you have to really speak that language.
Wow. And that's not an easy language to speak. Jessica,
I feel though that's a good reminder for nurses though, is, you know, we give a lot of medications mm-hmm. every day, and knowing what they do and how to fix some of the things they do is really important before you push the plunger on that syringe. We do give a lot of medication, and it's really important to see the full value of your role as a caregiver and a protector when you give a lot of different medications.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Can you tell me a little bit about the options for education and pursuing your, you know, the CRNA opportunity and profession?
This is a question I also get often, is how best to prepare. If you think you're interested, you've shadowed, and you feel strongly that this is for you, the portfolio that they're looking for is a nurse that has experience in critical care. And critical care is very specific. They really do want that ICU experience. And as you know, there's cardiovascular ICU, there's neuro ICU, there's MICU, SICU. There's different avenues to get that requirement fulfilled, but it is a requirement for school that you have practiced with the advanced critical care setting but that is the role from which you come. A lot of people ask me if they will accept emergency or trauma, and I always urge those people to consider that they do need the ICU experience before they apply for those roles. And then the other piece of it is you have to be ready to get that interview process and the essays. It's rigorous. Mm-hmm. The general consensus in our area in Philadelphia, we have 7 nurse anesthesia programs in our local market, and they'll get an average of 180 applicants for 20 spots every year, or when they do rolling admissions a couple times a year. So knowing that you have to be really prepared to go through that process potentially more than once to get considered for one of those spots, just be prepared to go from being that go-to person in your unit that is really prepared. You're in the pool with all of those other people who feel strongly that they could be good at this, and to be ready to potentially go through it a couple of times.
Thank you, Jessica. Thanks for this conversation. Thanks for all of your advice and input, and for sharing your experiences. And I wish you a happy National CRNA Week.
Thank you. And the same to all those other nurse anesthetists out there toiling away. I say this to all our patients. If I do my job right, you probably won't even remember me.
That's great. You have a great day.